this morning comes from Paul's letter to the Philippians, the second chapter, beginning at verse 5 and continuing through verse 11. This is known as the Christ hymn in Philippians. Listen again to God's word. Let the same mind be in you that was in Christ Jesus, who though he was in the form of God, did not regard equality with God as something to be exploited, but emptied himself, taking the form of a slave, being born in human likeness. Being found in human form, he humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. Therefore, God also highly exalted him and gave him the name that is above every name, so that at the name of Jesus every knee should bend, in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Let us pray. O Lord, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of all our hearts be pleasing and acceptable in your sight, O God, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. So I was thinking about these passages and preparing for this morning. I kept coming back to the idea of vulnerability. How vulnerable Jesus is, how vulnerable the disciples are, how vulnerable we are. It seems like we are bombarded daily with what has come to be known as reality. Reality TV, reality this, reality that. But the reality is not actually there. It couldn't be further from the truth. The reality that we see and experience and that influences us so deeply in our culture is really nothing more than a highly curated image, a veneer, a script, if you will. And we are encouraged by this. We are told that we have to put our best foot forward in order to appear happy all the time, that we must portray ourselves as fulfilled, well-adjusted human beings with great jobs and good friends and healthy relationships and plenty of money and time to travel and interesting hobbies and angelic children and all of these other things that society tries to sell us. But let's face it, that's not reality. At least it's not the reality that I know. I'm a 90s kid at heart, and I don't say that to make any of you feel old. Sorry. That's a decade that brought us many of the precursors that we know today as reality-driven media and TV and all of these things. It was in the 90s that MTV's The Real World debuted, and it was one of those shows that I was not allowed to watch. So, don't think bad of me. It was one of those shows I was not allowed to watch, at least until I went to college. The premise was simple. 7 20-somethings, all strangers, all very different, come together to live in one house in a city, and cameras record the chaos that ensues. And as you can imagine, these young people got into all sorts of trouble. The Real World didn't bill itself as a reality TV show the way reality TV bills itself today, but there's no doubt that's what it was. And the tagline says it all. This is the true story of what happens when people stop being polite and start getting real. There's something about the last part of that phrase, start getting real. There's something about that line that always stuck with me. And I thought about it this week as I was thinking about the vulnerability that we see in these passages. Because that line, to me, speaks of great vulnerability. A vulnerability that is all too often makes us uncomfortable, makes us want to hide. Because the truth is, we like having secrets. We like carefully managing the image that we portray to the world around us, even if it is terribly exhausting to do so. I've told you before that I'm a recovering control freak who likes to have things just so. This is going to become interactive now, I can see. It's the pot calling the kettle black. I say this because my guess is that many of us, most of us perhaps, are also secretly or not so secretly control freaks. We like things to be a certain way. And we're willing to only have others get so close before we throw up the barricades. And we like to keep things just as they are. It's too hard to be vulnerable, to put ourselves out there, to experience those sorts of things. And yet, that's exactly what God does in Jesus Christ. God makes himself supremely vulnerable to the whims and machinations of human beings. He puts himself out there, out here, quite literally, the Son of God taking on human flesh, coming to live with us for a while, emptying himself, as Paul writes to the Philippians, taking the form of a slave, humbled and obedient even to the point of death. Talk about vulnerable. We tend to have an image in our minds of Jesus that he is always in control, every move of his earthly ministry carefully planned and executed, sort of the way we want everyone else to think about us. But more often than not, the Gospels show us just how deeply Jesus is affected by the people and events around him. There are unruly crowds and angry religious leaders and opportunistic followers and some who are outright antagonistic towards him. Jesus has good days and bad days. He gets tired and hungry and angry and frustrated and fed up sometimes. And as we enter Holy Week and walk with Jesus through the streets of Jerusalem, we can see this for ourselves. It's all right there in the Gospels. The crowds that hail Jesus on Palm Sunday, welcoming him to the holy city, will quickly change their tune. By Friday, the crowds will be calling, not Hosanna, but Crucify. Calling for Jesus' death. And Jesus does nothing to stop them. He doesn't flee to Galilee. He doesn't go into hiding. He doesn't deny his identity. He is focused. He is focused on his mission. He cannot be swayed. He is obedient, as Paul says, to the point of death. Most Bible scholars think that Paul here is quoting a hymn or part of a liturgy that was used by the earliest Christians when they gathered to pray and worship Jesus. That's where this Christ hymn comes from. And so it offers us an insight into what the early church looks like and how the earliest believers understood and practiced their faith. Many of them were poor and humble, so these words probably would have deeply resonated with them. They understand what it's like to be a poor slave, what it means to be vulnerable, to have a master. They also know what it means to have hope, that one day they will be lifted up, that one day they will be blessed by God, even as they themselves bless God's name. As Christians, we tend to sing our theology. Hymns are often where we learn the faith first. Think about Sunday school hymns that you sang growing up. Hymns that stick with you, that remind you of what it means to be a follower of Jesus. That's something that's not new, and that's exactly what Paul is doing here. He is reminding the Philippians of what God has done in Jesus Christ, and he does it by using these familiar words, words that they probably know, words that they probably sing often. I hope it had a catchy tune. It's like preaching a sermon on the parable of the lost sheep and using the well-known words of amazing grace to prove your point, to illustrate your point. I once was lost, but now I'm found. I was blind, but now I see. That's what Paul is doing here, because it's important, at least I think that's what Paul is saying here, it's important for us to understand why Jesus did the things that he did, why he came to live among us, and why he willingly subjected himself to this seeming roller coaster of emotion, and why he made himself more vulnerable than most of us could ever imagine. And the answer is simple. The answer is love. He did it out of love for us. God loves us, and God wants us to know him, to have a relationship with him. God wants to redeem us in order to have that relationship. And in order to do all that, God comes to earth, comes down here. Jesus, born in the human flesh, love personified, love completely obedient. It's like the words you hear me say each time we celebrate a baptism. For you, little one, Jesus Christ came into this world. For you, he lived and showed God's love. For you, he suffered the agony of Gethsemane and the darkness of Calvary and cried at last, "It is finished." For you, he triumphed over death and rose in newness of life. For you, he ascended to reign at God's right hand. All this he did for you, little one, though you don't know it yet. And so the word of Scripture is fulfilled. We love because God first loved us. We love because God first loved us. Love makes us vulnerable. Just as Jesus' disciples, as that first Palm Sunday dawns, they are approaching Jerusalem. And there are lots of other people, lots of other Jews making their way up to the holy city as the Passover holiday nears. And when Jesus and the disciples come near Bethphage and Bethany, just outside the city of Jerusalem, Jesus tells two of his disciples, we don't know their names, but he tells two of them to go into that village that's just ahead. And there in that little village, they will find a colt that has never been ridden. Untie it and bring it here, Jesus says. Discipleship makes us vulnerable because disciples are obedient. The two disciples Jesus sends into that little village to get the colt, they don't argue with him, or at least if they do, Luke doesn't record the argument. They don't ask a bunch of questions, even though they probably really want to. Jesus at least anticipates one of their possible objections. If anyone says to you, "Why are you untying it?" just say this, "The Lord needs it." What a reason. What a reason. Who's going to buy that? I don't know, Jesus. That really just does not sound like a reason that's going to hold up in court when we get arrested for colt thieving. Discipleship makes us vulnerable because disciples are obedient. Jesus and his disciples ride into Jerusalem amid crowds of people who are cheering and chanting and blessing this triumphal entry. And on the surface, right now on Palm Sunday, things look pretty good. Jesus' popularity levels are at an all-time high. This being a disciple stuff, it's great. But it's going to be a long week. And by Thursday and Friday, we know what's going to happen. We know that the shadows are lengthening over Jerusalem. The death is coming. And by Friday morning, the disciples will be feeling intensely vulnerable, so vulnerable, in fact, that they will begin to flee, deserting Jesus in his hour of greatest need, leaving a few women to stand with him at the foot of the cross. Even Peter, the rock, the leader of this ragtag group, this spokesman, the rock on whom Jesus said he would build his church, even Peter will deny ever knowing Jesus 3 times. Terrified that he too will be arrested and put on trial and crucified. Discipleship makes us vulnerable because disciples are obedient. Go back to the beginning of this text from Philippians that we heard this morning. Go back to the beginning. Before he starts quoting the words of that hymn, Paul writes, "Let the same mind be in you that was in Christ Jesus." Maybe you didn't notice that when I read it the first time. Let the same mind be in you, Paul writes. Let the same mind be in you, you members of the Philippian church. Let the same mind be in you, you members of First Presbyterian Church. Let the same mind be in you that was in Christ Jesus, who though he was in the form of God, did not regard equality with God as something to be exploited, but emptied himself, taking the form of a slave, being born in human likeness, and humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. Let that same mind be in you. Discipleship makes us vulnerable because disciples are obedient. Let that same mind be in you. And obedience doesn't always lead us where we want to go, to the nice, safe, sunny places. We are called to follow the example of Jesus, who invites us, saying, "If anyone to become my followers, let them deny themselves and take up their cross daily and follow me. For those who want to save their life will lose it, and those who lose their life for my sake will save it." Discipleship makes us vulnerable. The church is supposed to be more than just a nice place to come on Sunday morning. It's supposed to be a family. At our best, it is supposed to be a family where we can be real and vulnerable with one another. Because the truth is, we are all struggling with something. We all have doubts and fears and problems. Some of you might be really good at covering up those doubts and fears and problems, and some of you might not be, but we are all struggling with something. We can usually keep it hidden for a while, but there are plenty of times when it comes spilling out. What if we recognize that we are all struggling with something? And what if we were to give one another the kind of grace and compassion and love and mercy that God gives to us? What if we were to give that to one another? What if we were to be that vulnerable with one another? It would certainly make life a little bit easier. It was this week, some 2,000 years ago, that the Son of God emptied himself completely. He rode into Jerusalem on a donkey as the crowds chanted and cheered, "Hosanna, blessed is the King who comes in the name of the Lord." And a few days later, he took up a cross and he went to Calvary as the crowds jeered and cursed him, shouting, "Crucify! Crucify!" But this man, this Son of God, who did not regard equality with God as something to be exploited, this man who humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death, this man's story does not end with death. Because on the third day, God raised him up, and as Paul sings, highly exalted him and gave him the name that is above every name, so that at the name of Jesus every knee should bend, in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. The crowds shout Hosanna today and crucify on Friday, but one day those crowds, this crowd, all of us, will confess Jesus Christ as Lord. Amen. Let us pray. Lord, at the beginning of a very long week, a week filled with darkness, violence, and anger, help us to remember. Help us to remember you during this week and the intense vulnerability that you felt. Help us, Lord, when we are feeling vulnerable, help us to love one another and to have compassion for one another, that we may seek you and be your faithful disciples. In Jesus' name, amen.